Praise God. We started last week talking about 10 reasons why we should pray. Thought we were going to get through 10 of them. We only got through 2 of them. So we've got a long ways to go. But anyway, we're going to just going to take our time, and whatever the Lord leads, we might get through the 8 today, and we may only get through 1. I don't know. But let's be open to the Holy Spirit. Let Him direct us and see where we go from here. We've had a week of prayer here at the church, and we've had good turnout each night and a good atmosphere each night, a good presence of God showing up every night, and we've had a wonderful time. And I told the people on one night the week anyway how much I appreciate this church, and I honestly mean that from the bottom of my heart. You fellows are the, now don't get puffed up or anything, don't get your heads all hot and everything else, but you're the best people in Napanee. I believe that from the bottom of my heart, and the region, not only Napanee, I know some are from other areas there. You're the best people. We had the cream of the crop. I honestly believe that. When it comes to going out to the different churches for services and things like this and prayer meetings, our crew is the one that shows up most. And we had a service last Friday, not this Friday, but Friday before. We had a service at the Baptist Church and different people involved in different things. And when we start coming in, when I got there, actually, some of our people were already there. Betty and them were there. John and them were already there. And when we got there, some of the pastors said, "Oh, the temple prayer and praise people are here." You know, and they seem like they count on if we show up, well, everything's going to be okay. Not to puff us up, but I'm just saying that they got some support. They got some people that's going to stand with them. And I really appreciate you people, your faithfulness. And as I mentioned the other night, I mean, some of you are traveling long distances to come in. Steve and them living over in Picton and come in, even for the prayer meetings. And you know, different ones. We got people living out in Dorland and outside of town, Newburgh, and different things like that. People all coming in, and I appreciate it. People would take the time to put God first in their lives like that and do these different things. And very faithful people, and we appreciate that. And lest your heads get too hot, let's go on with the sermon. How's that? But I really do appreciate you. 10 reasons why we should pray. Last week we looked at reason number 1 and reason number 2. I'm just going to touch on them this morning. When we pray, God receives praise. The Bible says here in Psalms 50 and 23, "Whoso offereth praise glorifies me." So when we pray, if we're praying correctly, we ought to be glorifying God. We ought to be bringing praise to God. Secondly, we looked at reason number 2. When we pray, we draw nigh to God or draw near to God. And we talked about how Abraham, back in the Old Testament, he had to step out in faith and offer his son in order to open up the way for God to offer his son on the earth. And this is where we spent a lot of time last week talking about this one. But Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 7, he's saying, "What other nation on the earth has got it so good as we have, whose God is so near to them?" There's all kinds of nations who are worshiping Baal and worshiping idols and all these different things. He said, but there's no other nation on the earth who's got the true God, and that God is near to them. And so when we pray, God draws nigh to us. The Bible says, you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh unto you. And so we make that first step. And you know throughout Scripture, and we've talked about this dozens of times, that whenever God wanted something done on the earth, he always got somebody on the earth to do something first so that he could come and bless it. And you can go from Genesis to Revelation. You'll find all throughout the Scripture, every time God wanted to do a miracle, he got people to do something first. When he fed the 5,000, he said, "Go out and find something for me to work with." And he brought it back and he said, "We had a little boy's lunch." He said, "That'll do." When he was going to bring the children of Israel across the Red Sea, he said to Moses, he said, what do you got in your hand? Moses said, "I got nothing, only a stick." And God said, "That'll do." God just needs something to work with so that he's got legal right to come down here on the earth and do something and intervene on our behalf. So this is why prayer is so very important. When we're praying, we're asking God to intervene on our behalf. And we draw near to God and he draws near to us. So let's move on. Number 3. This is where we're starting up this morning. When we pray, we show gratitude for God's blessings. When we're praying, and I'll add this every time when we say when we pray, when we're praying correctly, there's probably a better way of saying it, but when we're praying, we show gratitude to God for his blessings. When we're praying, we recognize that we've got nothing in ourselves. I was reading the scriptures a week and talking about Jacob, as he fled from his brother was going to kill him because he tricked him in the birthright and different things and the blessing, and he ran from his brother, and for a number of years he was living with his uncle Laban and married some daughters of Laban and had lots of sons and daughters when he came back, and the Bible says he had lots of cattle and donkeys and all these different things and food and different things. And as he started coming back, he stopped in Bethel, where he prayed several years before when he was running from his brother. Now he's on the way back, and he stopped in the very same spot and found a rock where he made a little pillar there to mark the spot. And he started to say, he said, Lord, he said, you've really blessed me. He said, when I crossed here before, he said, and came through this way, he said, I had nothing. He said, just a satchel in my hand, a bit of food. And he said, here I am coming back now, 20-some-odd years later. And he said, I'm loaded with blessings. And we need to understand and recognize that without God, we're nothing. Don't think of your employer as your source. I mean, we've seen enough change around the last few years that your employer is nothing. It's just a tool, it's just an instrument that God uses to bless you. Your source is God. And those that have lost jobs in the past year, and some of you have gone through that, you've lost jobs in the past year, but God has still been the source and kept you going and provided other means. So don't look at your sources, you know, well, if I lose that job, I don't know what I'm going to do. Listen, if you lose God, you don't know what you're going to do. But the jobs are just temporary. They can change anytime. God is our source. So when we're praying, we're offering thanksgiving to God. We're thanking Him for His blessings upon us. We're expressing our gratitude towards Him. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 says, continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving. When you're praying, watch in the same, the Bible says, with thanksgiving. Now, the Bible tells you to watch and pray. Now, some people joke about that and says to keep your eyes open while they're praying. That's okay too. But what he's talking about, when you're praying, be alert of what's happening around you. When you're praying for something, you're believing God for maybe a financial miracle, maybe some kind of a physical touch in your body or a family situation or whatever. Watch for the answer. Keep looking out there and expect the answer to come. Watch and pray. And this is what he says. When you're praying, pray continually, he said, and watch with thanksgiving. And we need to understand that when you receive from God, as Christians, every day we ought to be thanking God for the blessings that He's bestowed upon us. When we stop to realize how good we have it today. I was reading something this past week, and they were talking about, you know, the blessings of God and different things. They said, you know, we're living in a society, we got, turn on a tap, you got hot water. I mean, 50 years ago, they had to stoke up a stove and get everything all working and run around half day just to get things going, just to boil the kettle. You know, and we got air conditioning in the summertime. We have furnace in the wintertime. You come into the seats here, you sit down, they're nice and soft, your bones aren't sticking through. You know, if they are, you can bring an extra cushion and make it a little softer. But you understand, like, we're blessed, and they were saying in this little thing I was reading, they said, we're living better now than a king could live 200 years ago. We are. We've got everything. And we need to be constantly thanking God for the material blessings around us, but also the spiritual blessings. In our families and all these different things, we ought to be thanking God for all these things. So when we pray, we're showing our gratitude to God. Let's go on to the next one. Number four, when we pray, our personal needs can be met. When we're praying, our personal needs can be met. Now, a lot of people think, well, you know, what's the point of praying? We talked about this last week. What is the point of praying? If God already knows what we need, what's the point of praying? We used to have discussions last when we were children. What is the point of praying? And we talked about it last week. One of the benefits of praying, even though God knows our need, one of the benefits of praying is that we have fellowship with Him. You know, some people say, well, I don't pray, you know, because God already knows what we need and He'll look after it and all these different things. But listen, you'll never have a relationship with Him. If you have a friend and you never talk to them, you never have any fellowship with them, pretty soon you're going to lose contact. Same as yourselves, I'm sure. We got friends that we grew up with, that we're very close with in school and different things like that. But you know, life happens and you just go on, and somebody goes here to work for a job somewhere else, you know, and all of a sudden you realize, man, your friends are, you know, you don't even know them anymore. We talked about, we were praying for our loved ones the other night. They were praying for salvation for our loved ones. That I've got family members. I don't even know how many children they have. You know, like cousins and things like this. I know they're living probably out in Alberta or living somewhere else down in Texas or something. I know they got a family, but I don't know how many children they have. I don't know their names. I don't know if they got boys or girls or a mixed mangle. I don't know what's, you know. And life happens like that. So we need to be constantly in contact with each other if we want to keep that relationship going. And it's the very same thing with God. If we don't keep in contact with God, we're going to lose that connection. So this is one of the important things about prayer, is that we keep that connection between us and God alive. And we need to understand that we can have our needs met. The Word of God tells us you have not because you ask not. You know, and over and over and over, I was reading somewhere the week, that out of all the references to prayer in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and you know there's hundreds of references to prayer, over 90% of the references to prayer talk about people making a petition to God for some need in their lives. You know, you understand? God wants to meet the need in our lives, the needs that we face. And over 90% of references in prayer in the Scripture speak about people asking God for something. We've talked about in our every night this week, we're going through the Scripture that we've been using actually in the first Friday of every month in the revival services. I should ask you, where's it found? Hey, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people call by my name and humble themselves and pray and seek my face, he said, turn from their wicked ways. He said, then I'll hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. When we pray, it causes something to happen in heaven. You ever stop? You know, I don't know. I know I'm a bit stranger than some of you anyway, but sometimes you ever stop and think about how big and vast God is, how powerful and almighty, and we can't even comprehend. But to think that I can say something that would cause him to change something. Man, I tell you, you know, look, if you stop and think about that for a while, it make you realize how powerful prayer is. That here I am down here, nothing, just a speck of dust, and I can pray and ask him to change something, and he'll change the future for me. That's powerful. And the only connection that we have with heaven is prayer. But yet for all, the devil does everything in his power to stop us from praying. Prayer is hard work. I know that. You know that. You know? But we can have our personal needs met when we pray. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. This is King James. Now, be careful, or the newer translation says, be anxious for nothing. Don't be afraid of anything, in other words. Be careful for nothing, or be anxious for nothing. He said, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, or prayer and making request, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Again, you have that thing there, with thanksgiving. When you're praying, use thanksgiving as well. And then James chapter 5, verse 13 and 16 there, or 15, he says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. If you're going through a hard time in your life, I mean, God gives us a recipe here how to get out of it. He said, is there anyone that's afflicted? Is there anybody that's got a pressing situation in their lives? Maybe as a physical need, maybe a financial need, maybe some healing in your body you need, maybe as a situation in a relationship somewhere. Is there any that's afflicted? God tells us, he said, let him pray. Now, God wouldn't tell us that if he wasn't going to do something about it. He said, let him pray. And then he goes on to say, is there any merry? Is there any that's happy? Anybody got some good news? You know, he said, let them sing psalms. Is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Anoint them with oil. The Bible says, in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, heal the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. See, we can have our personal needs met. We sang a hymn, one of the services this week. What a friend we have in Jesus. And you know the story. I've shared it with you a number of times, but the man who wrote it is buried up in Port Hope, Ontario here, from Ireland. He was going to marry a girl in Ireland when he was just a young man. And the day before the wedding, she was out for a horseback ride, and the horse jumped or did something. She fell off and fell down and hit her head and died by a stream, drowned, I think it was in the stream. The day before the wedding. Broke his heart, and he moved to Canada. He lived in the Port Hope area. And after a while, number of years, he met another girl from here in Ontario, fell in love with her, was going to marry her, and 2 weeks before they were to get married, she came down with polio and died. And he wrote this poem and sent it back home to his mother. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. This is what the psalmist, Paul was saying here. In everything by prayer and supplication. And he said, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. When we pray, we can have our needs met. When we pray, the needs of others can be met. When you're praying for someone else, the Bible refers to it as intercessory prayer. And sometimes when you're praying, and just to touch on this for a minute, when you're praying an intercessory prayer, sometimes you take on the exact feeling that person is going through. I was reading a story years ago about a missionary in Africa. And he said there was a very rich man there, lived on a plantation, and his wife was sick with cancer. And the rich man had nothing to do with the missionary and stuff like this, but he heard that they prayed for people to be healed. So he sat down and he asked the missionary to come. He said, can you come and pray for my wife that she be healed? And he said he went up and he prayed for her. He said, and left. He never felt anything about it or anything like that. And he said he went and he visited them off and on. He said, and prayed for the wife, and nothing seemed to happen. He said, one day, he said, when he was at his... excuse me. Man, that's loud. That's just to wake you up. He said, one day, he said, when he was praying in his home, he said, the Holy Spirit started to deal with him. He started to think, he said, this woman's face kept coming to his mind, this lady that he's praying for. And he said, he started to pray for her, and he said, all of a sudden, he said, thoughts start coming into his mind that he things to pray about that he never even thought of, he said, when he was there praying with her. He said, all of a sudden, he said, he started praying for situations and her family situations, and he said, the nervousness and the fear and everything that she was going through, he said, just came upon him. And he really started to pour his heart to God on her behalf. And he said, as he was praying, he said, the urge came. He said, I got to go down and just pray for her again. And as he was running up the road, the Bible says, as he was going towards the house, as he went in through the gate to the plantation, he could hear her crying inside, groaning because of the pain. And he said, his heart was just breaking because he knew what she was going through. All of a sudden, God helped him to understand the fear and everything else that she was going through. And he said, he went in and he said, the compassion of God came upon him. And he went in and he said, he just laid his hands upon her and he rebuked the sickness. And he said, immediately, he said, she changed. He said, the fear subsided. She calmed down. And he said, within a couple of days, she was totally healed. See, there's something about it when you start to intercede on behalf of someone else. If you get to the place that you really become an intercessor, God will help you to feel what another person is going through. And when you get into that place and your heart breaks for that person, then you're really into spiritual warfare. You're really doing something in the spirit realm to change your situation or that person's situation. So when we pray, the needs of other people can be met. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul says, he said, I exhort you, first of all, that prayer and supplications be made for all men. First of all, when you go to prayer, listen, I was reading a survey this past week, and it was done in a secular thing. It was just on a Simpatico site, actually, on the internet. And they were talking about prayer, how many people pray and different things. And one of the things that they mentioned that I think it was 74% of the people that prayed, all their prayers are just for themselves. We're pretty selfish people sometimes. All their prayers were just for themselves. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying for your own needs. But Paul said to Timothy, he said, I exhort you and I encourage you, first of all, he said, prayers and supplications be made for all men. That's others. He said, for kings and for all those that are in authority, that we may lead a good, godly, and peaceful life. And listen, you don't have to search far to find something to pray about this day and age. Just turn on your TV for the news for a few moments. The world has gone crazy. If we didn't know the scriptures and didn't know that God had a plan for all this, man, it would drive you bananas. But thank God he's got everything under control and God knows everything that's taking place. And it's all working according to his plan and his purpose. I'm not saying that God is causing all these problems in the world, but God already knew way back when he created the world how things were going to turn. He wrote it in advance and told us exactly what's going to happen. And we read a little bit further on, we read that Jesus is going to come back and straighten all this out. So that's our hope. We don't have to fear, the Bible says, like people who have no hope. Here we go, number five. I'll do one more. And then we'll leave the rest for next week. When we pray, we can persuade God. Now, this is the one that blows my mind here. We can persuade God to act on our behalf. Now, that sounds almost like a bit too much, that I can persuade God to do something. You know, like I said, when I was doing this week, I started thinking, here's the God of the universe that just spoke the worlds into existence and everything is still flowing. Scientists tell us the universe is still, you know, expanding. A little while ago, they said, no, it's contracting, but now they're gone back to expanding again. That's like we're going to school, we are going to have an ice age, now we're gone into global warming, and probably 10 years in a row or something. A few years ago, it was acid rain or something else. I'm not saying these things are all useless, but listen, let's keep our eyes upon God. You know, that's where our focus should be. And anyway, to think that God that created the universe is going to listen to me and is going to change his actions because I ask him to, that he's going to change the future because I ask him to. You know, like I said earlier, the only connection that we have with heaven is prayer. That's the only way we're going to get heaven to do anything on our behalf is prayer. That's why the devil fights us so much. But to think that here's the God of the universe is up there and the plans are already made for the universe and for life and everything else. But if I ask him to change something, if I'm sincere about it and everything else and come according to his word, he'll listen to that and he'll change the plans. Boy, I tell you, I don't know if that gets you like it gets me. That gets me. That God, I can make the universe, the master of the universe, change something on my behalf. I'll give you a couple of scriptures for it. There's one right there. We'll touch on the last. Let's look at, over in the book of Matthew, I think it's chapter 15. I was thinking this today. I should have put it up there. But Jesus, the Bible says, was walking along the road one day, and I've preached on this before. Jesus was walking along the road one day, and after performing a lot of miracles and different things, and praying and you know, different things, walking along the road, and this woman came out. The Bible says she is from the coast of Syria. She was a Syro-Phoenician. Now, they were part Jews, almost like the Samaritans was up in that region. The Jews hated them. They were considered as dogs. You know, I mean, mankind hasn't changed a whole lot in 2,000 years. There's still hatred amongst religions and people groups and countries and all these different things. And the Jews hated these people. But she heard that in Israel, there was a man that could heal people. So she came down from the regions, the Bible says, of Tyre and Sidon, came down. And Jesus was walking along the road one day, and she started crying out, and she said, Jesus, thou son of David. And that's a Jewish covenant. She had nothing to do with that. That's none of her business. She had no right to that covenant. But she said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. For my daughter is at home, grievously vexed of a devil. Her daughter was demon-possessed. The Bible says Jesus just kept on walking. Now, he heard her, but he just kept on walking. And the Bible says she cried out even more. She said, Jesus, maybe he's just walking away from her. She cried out even more. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And finally the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, they said, send her away. She's crying after us. She's making noise, commotion. She's missing up the service. And Jesus just kept on walking. And she came up and she said, Jesus, have mercy upon me. And Jesus stopped me and said, listen. He says, it's not right for me to take what belongs to the Jewish people and give it to dogs. Man, that's a slap. Here's Jesus, her only hope, referring to her as a dog. And she, you know, could have easily said, well, you're no better than anyone else. You're just the same as everyone else. But Jesus never said it because he was referring to her as a dog. He's just trying to get a point across. He says, not right to take a children's bread. Now, children's bread, in other words, this belonged to the children of Israel. Healing belonged to them. They had it in the covenants. You go through the Old Testament. If they had a sickness or a disease, they could go and offer a sacrifice to before the priest. The priest would pray for them in the Old Testament, and God would heal them. There was means to do that in the Old Testament. It belonged to the Jewish people. This is why Israel, remember when Naaman was sick. The young girl said, I wish my master was in Israel. She said, there's a man in there who could heal him. No other nation could do that. But Israel had that. So Jesus kept on walking, and she said, Jesus, thou son of David. Now notice this. She kept referring to the Jewish covenant that she had nothing to do, no right to whatsoever. She said, have mercy upon me. And Jesus said, is that right for me to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs? And she could have easily blew up in his face and said, you're no better than you're just a fake. One of those faith healers. You know? But she didn't do that. She came back. She said, that's true, Lord. She said, but even as a dog, I can ask for the crumbs. Even the dogs get the crumbs. And Jesus, a woman, he said, I've not seen such faith yet in Israel. Here I am, a healer, walking in the streets of Israel. The people aren't even calling to me like you are. And you're standing on that covenant. And she, you see here, there's a number of obstacles that she had. There's, number one, she had no right to come into that covenant whatsoever. Number two, she had no right even to come into the people of Israel. She was a Syrophoenician. She was a clan that the people hated. And here's Jesus. I mean, the disciples tried to refuse her, send her away. Jesus himself was refusing her, and Jesus himself rebuked her. But she kept at it and kept at it and kept at it. She said, but even the dogs can have crumbs. And Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. The Bible says her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You see, the situation was changed. You can persuade God to change things if you stand on his word. If you stand in faith and be persistent, you can persuade God to change things on your behalf. The story right here, we have 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 to 6. I'm just going to refer to it. I won't have time to read it, but you can read it some other time. Just jot down the reference. King Hezekiah. He was a man that served God. He was one of the good kings. Israel, if you know anything about the kings of Israel, you look at their history, there was up and down like this. It was good king, bad king. Good king, the good king would reign for a while and everybody would start serving God again. Then all of a sudden the bad king come in and the whole nation would take a nosedive and be attacked by their enemies and be destroyed and everything else. And then all of a sudden God raised up someone else and they come up and bring the people back up again. It was just over the years, just up and down all the time. Hezekiah was one of those fellows that was up. And he ruled over Israel for a number of years. But he became sick, the Bible says. And God spoke to Isaiah, the prophet. And he said, Isaiah, he said, I want you to go up to the king's palace and tell the king to get his house in order, get things set up, get it straightened out. He said, because he's going to die and he's not going to live. Now, if somebody came to you, if a prophet came to you and you knew the prophet heard from God, and he said to you, he said, listen, God told me you're going to die. You better get your life, get your house set up and set it in order. Man, I don't know about you, that would shake me if I really believed that person was from God. And God said to me, he said, you shall die and not live. That's a double whammy. that's making sure that you got the message. You're going to die and you're not going to live. And Hezekiah was just a messenger. He dropped the message off and left again. And the Bible says, as Isaiah was a messenger, left a message to Hezekiah, and Isaiah left and started to walk out. And Hezekiah says, isn't that right? And the Bible says he started to pray. And he turned his face toward the wall and he said, God, he said, you check the records. He said, haven't I been faithful to you? Haven't I done that which is right in your sight? You see, there's something about living right. There's something about being obedient to God's word and everything else. And he said, God, he said, this is not right. He said, why should I die? He said, after I've been so faithful, he said, I've not cheated anyone. I've not done anything wrong. He said, why would I have to die? Why has this come upon me? And the Bible says he turned his face toward the wall and he started to weep bitterly. I mean, this is a quick prayer. You don't have to pray sometimes for months and months and months. This is a quick prayer because the Bible says Isaiah was walking out across the courtyard. And as he got out, the word of God came to him again. He said, Isaiah, he said, go back and tell the king. He said, I've changed my mind. You can change God's mind. He said, go back and tell the king. He said, I've changed my mind. He said, tell him, he said, 3 days, go up to the temple. He said, I'm going to heal him. And he said, I'm going to give him another 15 years because he said, I've heard his prayer. You can cause God or persuade God to act on your behalf by your prayers. I tell you, we don't really realize sometimes how powerful prayer really is. The devil recognizes it. That's why he tries to stop us every time. I guarantee you, and I've told you this dozens of times, you make up your mind, I'm going to take an hour today, and I'm just going to pray, I'm going to seek God's face. You would think of putting the garbage out, your car got a flat tire, and everything else comes in your mind, and you get all kinds of problems, you know, and the telephone starts ringing, and you look at it near, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so I never got my prayer in after all. And I told you the other night, you're not going to find time to pray. You've got to make time to pray. You understand it? You've got to make time to do it. You've got to say, listen, this is the time for prayer. The telephone can ring. You know, I know we're living in a real world. Sometimes emergencies come up. I understand it. But listen, we ought to say, listen, this is my time for prayer, whether it's 5 minutes or 5 hours. Martin Luther, they say back in the 1500s, he was the leader of the Protestant Reformation. And he wrote in one of his journals, he said, I've got so much to do today. He had this meeting to meet and that something else and all these different things to do. He said, I've got so much to do today. He said, I better not start. He said, but at least 3 hours of prayer. He knew that if he spent the time in prayer first, everything else would fall in place. But we look at it the other way. I got so much to do today, I don't have time to pray. He said, I've got so much to do. He said, I better start out with 3 hours of prayer. At least 3 hours of prayer. And I've shared this lots of times. I know in my own life, if I'm getting messages ready for Sunday sometimes, if I'm just looking and reading and studying and all this, the Bible says much study is a weariness to the flesh. I don't know if anybody feels that same way as I do. I agree with it 100%. I get in the office sometimes, I say to Pat, I said, I got to go out for a drive something. I just got to, really, you know, your mind just gets all boggled. I just got to get out and see something else. And just, you know. But there's times when I'm trying to get a message ready, and I've shared this one of the nights a week. There's times, and I'll start this, and I get this topic, and I start to look at it and get some scriptures, jot in a few thoughts and stuff like this, and throw it in the garbage. You know? Try something else, and try something else, and try something else, and finally I said, Lord, I just got to take some time in prayer. And I guarantee you, I've been in ministry now 29 years. There's not one time that the Holy Spirit has ever failed to bring something when you put Him first. I remember first when we went to ministry, we used to joke about this as young pastors. We said, man, we finish up preaching on Sunday. Sunday night, we'd be looking for next service, for sermon for next week. We were petrified. Man, what else can we preach on? We preach on everything we know, you know? And we're all nervous and, you know, trying to figure out what to do. But I can honestly say over the years that the Holy Spirit has never failed once. Never failed once. Always shows up, always gives a message. He's so faithful. But we can change the way that God does things. I mean, you can see this all through the Old Testament, especially in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament. God, I mean, remember Jonah? We did a series on Jonah a little while ago. God said to Jonah, he said, listen, he said, tell him, he said, they got 40 days, and he said, I'm waiting them out. 40 days and Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And you know the story, Jonah ran away from God. Jonah said, nah. He said, I know God too good for that. If they show either bit of repentance at all, God's going to forgive him. And Jonah, I don't want God to forgive him. I want God to wipe him out. So he wouldn't tell him. Remember that? We talked about that? And after Jonah went through his ordeal of, you know, running from God, and finally made up his mind, okay, I'll obey God, went back to Nineveh. And he went in, he started to walk. The Bible says the city was 3 days across. And he started to walk across, and all we know he said was, you got 40 days and God is going to destroy Nineveh. He walked into the next street corner. You got 40 days and God is going to destroy Nineveh. You got 40 days and God is going to destroy Nineveh. And he didn't offer any hope whatsoever. But the Bible says that the word got to the king. The king lived about halfway into the city, and the king, there's a fellow coming into the city, all he's saying is, God's going to destroy us. And the king knew it was from God. And he called all the people together. You know the story. You got the animals and everything, covered them with sackcloth and ashes. Wouldn't give their animals anything to eat. They're going to fast and pray for 3 days. God changed his mind. Jonah went out and sat down inside the city. I did my part, went out and sat down waiting for a fireball to come down and burn the city. And when nothing happened, Jonah got mad at God. He said, I knew that's what you'd do. I knew you were merciful. Listen, we are serving a very merciful God. And all he requires is that we just repent of our sin. The Bible says if we turn from our wicked ways, he said, I'll forgive your sin and I'll heal your land. Maybe in your family, maybe in your situation, in your job, or whatever the case might be, your finances, your body. Maybe there's some wicked things that the devil is trying to do. But God said, if we humble ourselves, and pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, God said, I'll hear you in heaven then. And why, I tell you, once you get through, James tells us, he said, or John tells us, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we pray anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And then he said, if we know that the prayer got through, we can rest assured that we're going to receive the answer.